Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino.
On this week's episode, we discuss the 2015 fall television schedule, a surprise Lonely Island movie, and the upcoming Hop Sauce Beer, Hot Sauce, and Music Festival. Welcome back to News Over Brews. This is a very strange episode because I'm actually in the vicinity of my two co-hosts and friends, Ryan DeMarco.
You know, I just came back from the gym when I realized you were here, and I had a slice of pizza and a protein shake in my hand, so I decided, which one do I eat first? So I just ate a protein pizza because dad bod.
All right. And Lucas Jones.
Dad bod is a myth propagated by the feminazis in order to keep the white man down.
But it leaves a little extra cushion.
But the good news is because we have dad bods, when we are kept down, we'll at least be more comfortable than if we were skinny. Because we'll have a little extra padding.
Because for the first time ever, we're trendy.
Oh, dude, we're so attractive.
Yeah, but
right
the
now.
Only one out of all
I
of us.
I say trendy, not attractive.
The only one that can pull.
Trend attractive.
Al, what were you saying?
I was going to say the only one that can actually pull off the man bun is Lucas because he has the hair.
I'm not going man bun, though. I'm going flow.
No, man bun is part of the dad bod
no,
craze.
Man buns are out now.
No.
Yeah, they are.
Leo's wearing one.
Yeah, but Leo is also a multimillionaire.
And
Hozier. I don't even know who Hozier is.
Oh, my. Well, we could talk about dad bods all day, but I'd rather get into the podcast. We have a lot to discuss. We haven't done one in a while, it feels like, but I think we posted one maybe last week or 2 weeks ago.
The fourth.
Fourth. Yeah. Wow, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
We've been a very lazy.
Yes, we've been busy, too.
We have.
You know, we're all working and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so dad bods aside...
Ryan's laugh. Dad bods aside.
you got that joke.
We just made that joke.
Okay, so dad bods aside, what are we drinking tonight?
I'm actually joined for this beer review by Corey Higgins from Jetty. Corey, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. It's really nice to have you, and the reason why we have you will become apparent very soon. But first, as we always do, we have to talk about beer. So this week, I went to the liquor store, and I looked for something new and exciting that I hadn't seen or tried or even heard about. It's rare, since there's so much of this, you know, gets hyped up before a release, but I saw something on the shelf that I thought looked interesting. It's from Brooklyn. It's called Green Market Wheat, a New York beer from New York Farms. And before we cheat and look at the box and see what kind of flavors we're getting, we'll try and pick them out on our own. Corey, since you're the guest, why don't you take it away?
Man, I mean, it's really tasty. I can't really put my finger on the notes I'm getting out of it. I usually go for a little heavier hop versus malt. It's got a nice balance, but man, there's something there. There's a spice or something that I can't quite put my finger on. Easy drinking, though. Tell
yeah,
you that much.
That's for sure. It pours kind of like this straw pale color. There's not much head retention on it, but, I mean, that's fine. The smell that comes off of it is very much like a Weiss beer. But like
yeah,
you said, there's something like in the back. In the nose and the flavor. When we were talking about it before we hit record, we kind of both agree that it was closest to like an Abbey Double.
Yeah, that's what that flavor is. It's real similar to that.
Mm-hmm. Like that kind of a dark fruit, a little bit of spice, slight.
Man, the spice, I just can't exactly like identify what it is, but it's there.
Yeah, I always hate to go with clove because I feel like you're cheating a little bit by saying just clove.
Totally.
But, I mean, that might be close enough, which is great to get, like, it's like a Belgian that isn't heavy. Like an Abbey Double is really light and really easy to drink.
Yeah.
Which is great, especially considering it's getting really hot.
No, this is going to be a great summer beer. Mm-hmm. I never heard of it either. Green Market Wheat.
Yeah. So let's give you the stats on this. Let me find it on the box. So it's 5% ABV, original gravity of 12. Let's see. Malts, Canadian two-row Pilsner malt. Unmalted wheat. Pearl hops. Ooh, this is what might give it that extra flavor. Additions, honey.
Okay.
And it looks like this beer is mostly taken from New York farms.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love, I mean, that alone, that's really in line with what we're doing at Hop Sauce for sure, too, you know?
Yeah, that whole, like, locally sourced, local industry. So, yeah, our brewers take raw wheat, malted barley, hops, and unite them into an unfiltered beer with light fruit flavors and a zesty palate. Yeah, I'd say that's right on.
Yeah, and once you mention that, like, the honey notes, mm-hmm. then you really get it, yeah. you know?
I think the only downside to this beer is it only comes in a 4-pack.
Yeah.
So,
which, like we were saying before, is just surprising because it's only 5%.
Yeah.
So to be in a 4-pack mm-hmm. just kind of threw me off.
The only thing I can think is maybe to keep the cost of the 4-pack down, like the cost of the actual package of beer, because it was, I think I got it for $8.99 for a 4-pack.
Okay.
So maybe try to keep it, get it out into more hands.
Yeah, and it's the whole New York Farms thing. It's the ingredients are probably a little more expensive, and mm-hmm. so they're just trying to kind of spread it out a little bit.
So now we'll give you the too long did not read version and give you the number out of 10. Corey, so since this is your first time, the way we do the out of 10 rating is 5 is your average beer.
Okay.
Nothing special, nothing terrible,
okay.
not very memorable. Anything lower, you've got, you know, bad for one reason or another, and everything above that is good. We have had a few 10s, so 10 is not some, you know, unreachable plateau of perfection. So what do you think?
Man, pressure. I'm gonna go with an 8 on this one. You know, I don't really have anything to judge my scale from,
mm-hmm.
From, you know, past scoring, but yeah, I mean, really easy drinking beer. I mean, I'll definitely be grabbing another 4-pack of this from this store, and yeah, it's solid. I don't know, like it a lot.
Yeah, no, this is definitely under the category of easy drinking beers, very smooth, has great flavors, nothing that's too overpowering. It could go well with a whole bunch of different foods, you know, bring 4-pack to the beach, barbecue. This would be fit in almost any summer or even really fall or winter situation. That's how good of a beer this is. I would probably go with 8.5, somewhere close to where you were. It's just, it's really well done.
Yeah.
Nothing. I really can't find any fault with this beer.
Yeah, big fan of the Brooklyn stuff.
Yeah, always a big fan of Brooklyn. I think maybe the only fault I can find, and longtime listeners know this, is I prefer my beers dark, strong, and barrel-aged.
Okay.
But, you know, you can't necessarily take points off for that. But, yeah, I would say a solid 8.5 on this one. Definitely, definitely keep a lookout for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Big thing that just happened recently, all the cable networks got together for their annual upfronts where they present their upcoming fall schedules to commercial buyer, you know, people who create commercials. So different companies all come there and they see the shows and upfront. They get to see, you know, little sneak peeks, and then they can buy ad time beforehand. The great thing about this is that you can see all of these shows, like a little sneak preview, especially in the age of social media. All of the trailers, they don't get leaked. You know, they full on post them the day of. So, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS, the CW, TBS, TNT, they all showed some of their new programs they got this coming fall. And man, a lot of them are really, really cool. So, I'll start with Ryan. Give me a couple that sparked your interest.
Amid the slew of coming attractions for the fall season, I was certainly interested with Minority Report, the new TV show that, you know, was based off the motion picture from Steven Spielberg and Tom Cruise.
That's going to be a CBS show.
CBS show. Or is it Fox?
That's Fox. I'm thinking of Limitless.
Limitless, which was going to be my next one, too.
CBS.
That was kind of cool. That was cool looking. Based off the Bradley Cooper film, which was also a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Even Supergirl, believe it or not.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's not
another
so
CBS show.
No, I always said also, which always reminds me of Wonder Woman for obvious reasons, I always said Wonder Woman would have made a good TV show.
They tried two different times.
They tried.
But the cool thing about Supergirl is actually the creators of Arrow, Greg Berlanti, he is going to be the showrunner. He's writing the show. But it's the only thing that's negative about this is it's going to be on the CBS instead of the CW. So we might not, right off the bat, we're definitely not going to get a crossover. And it's just really hard to cross over two networks. You know,
oh, understood.
Ad space, all that kind of stuff. So it's very tough.
Lastly, I would have to honorable mention Heroes Reborn.
Oh, of course.
Because Heroes was one of our favorites growing up.
Yes.
And it's just so incredible to see it back on the air. It's just probably one of the most anticipated ones of the upcoming season. So, I mean, personally for me, those are my picks. I know you guys probably differentiate in a couple ways, but overall, it's going to be a good season.
Yeah, just to go back on Heroes, I don't think we would have this TV explosion of comic book adaptations without Heroes, because they really, even though it was not based off a specific property, Heroes was really the forefront of comic book. There was other shows. I mean, going back decades, you know, the Hulk and Spider-Man, Flash, and Adventures of Lois and Clark, and then even Smallville. But really, Heroes was one that made it the drama. Really intricate, and made it really nerdy, and also was the first show that really got the social media following, you know, it like Save the Cheerleader, Save the World, you know, a very great marketing campaign. So I don't think we'd have shows like Arrow or S.H.I.E.L.D. without Heroes, so I'm really excited for Heroes Reborn. Luke, any shows that sparked your interest?
Well, first, I just want to say that while you guys were doing that, I was watching my favorite scene in Expendables 2, which is on TV right now, and it's where Jason Statham goes to the basketball court and kicks everybody's ass and stabs the basketball and goes, "Next time, I'll deflate all your balls, friend." I want that scene.
At least you're staying on topic. So that's cool.
I'm not perfect, but you should have waited. I was worth it. Get on.
Let's date. Yeah.
Okay, so back to the thing.
Well, I think what I'm most excited for are two things. I'm really excited for Minority Report because I love that movie. I love that whole genre. It's kind of cyberpunk, kind of sci-fi. It's pretty cool. I'm excited to see Steven Spielberg is going to be involved because he produces good movies. You know, there's really no other way to say it. Besides Minority Report, I suppose I'm looking forward to The Muppets also. While I don't know exactly how long it's going to last, I think while it's on the air, it's going to be a fairly good show. But the one thing I'm interested in seeing is how long it will last, considering it's kind of a mockumentary almost. It's like very meta. It's making fun of the handheld camera style shows while also at the same time being a handheld camera style show. So I'll shoot it over to our guest, Corey. What are you looking forward to?
I'd have to agree with you on the Muppets. You know, you played me that trailer, and I mean, I'm 36. The Muppets are such a huge part of my upbringing as a kid. Big fan of the Muppets, the movies, everything about them. It just holds such a positive, you know, memories for me. And that trailer looked awesome. The whole handheld thing, the whole office style shooting, I think is just, like you said, kind of, it's cool that they're doing it, making fun of it, but yet still doing it. And it just, it looks something different, you know? There's nothing else out there like it. And I mean, I don't have a lot of time for TV these days, but, you know, maybe I'll try to pick off an episode or two of that show, that's for sure.
Anyway, the other show that I was going to mention, I have two more. Ryan already mentioned Supergirl, looks cool. I'll bring up Limitless because Bradley Cooper is not only an executive producer on the show, he's actually going to be a recurring guest, which is very cool. Love Bradley Cooper. And you bring that star power to the show, you'll actually bring in a good amount of...
chunk of ratings, yeah.
Good chunk of ratings probably really early on. It's just got to stay with it. Another show that looked interesting was Lucifer, because basically what they want to do is, oh, Constantine didn't succeed, let's try it again.
But what about the same show?
What about the same exact show?
On a different channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Or from the perspective of the devil?
Yeah.
Was I reading that right?
Yeah, it's the devil. And then the one that looked interesting the most to me, obviously, big superhero buff, DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Absolutely 100% hate that title. But basically, it's all of the fan favorite characters that have been introduced in The Flash and Arrow. And now you're bringing in Rip Hunter, played by Arthur Darvill from... Arthur Darvill from Doctor Who and Broadchurch, amongst other things. He is playing Rip Hunter. And it's basically a time travel element to the Arrow Flash DC universe that they made. Very exciting. Looks really cool. You know, you got Brandon Roth as the Atom. You have Katie Lotz reprising her role. She gets resurrected, even though she died in the beginning of the second season of Arrow. She's third season. She's going to come back as White Canary. Others on the cast are Wentworth Miller as Captain Cold. You know, it's going to be a ridiculous amount of stars. And the effects look phenomenal, better than anything that has been on Arrow and Flash. So I'm really excited for this show. Ryan, what did you think? Did you get to watch that trailer?
Legends of Tomorrow? I have not, actually.
For someone who watches The Flash, I think you'll really get a kick out of it. It looks really, really cool. I think that was it with... And, you know, we had this 10-minute argument about the Muppets. I'm not going to stress it enough. Just watch the trailer and tell me, A, you don't feel like complete happiness with it. It's just so, like... entertaining. It was just really good from start to finish. That's definitely my TV recommendations. I think we covered all the good ones, honestly. I feel like we might be missing one, though.
I'm actually kind of interested in The Legends of Tomorrow. That seemed kind of interesting to me. If only because, like, I don't know the universe like you guys do, so, like, all these characters, like, I don't know any backstory, so, like, it might be kind of cool to pop in and out of that show.
Or you can just pop especially, in and stay in.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I'm
busy that
right?
day.
Yeah.
Busy. But yeah, I mean, as long as they stay on like the minor characters and don't necessarily make it like, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where it's like kind of, because as far as I know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not very tied into the films, but like, there's a lot of overlap.
It's its own show, and then the films affect it, and it could affect it in a big way or a small way, and it's not resorting to it. First season it did because it really helped change the landscape of the show in a great way, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. beginning of it really didn't find its footing until after Winter Soldier came out. It just didn't know what kind of show it wanted to be until then, and now it's really cool. It's a very enjoyable show, especially because now they're responsible for introducing the Inhumans to the world, which is very cool. It's surprisingly for a couple weeks, they said that there was going to be an Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff featuring two of the characters that were introduced in season 2 or 3, whatever season Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. is on right now, as Ryan falls asleep. Anyway, so yeah, everyone thought that Marvel was going to announce it. Now they're actually, they didn't pull the plug necessarily, but they're holding back. So they haven't announced a new Marvel show yet. It's still going to be they actually renewed Agent Carter, which is very cool, and S.H.I.E.L.D. So luckily those shows are staying on still.
I was actually thinking Agent Carter was a bit of a surprise.
Oh yeah, everyone loved Agent Carter, just didn't get a lot of ratings.
What I meant, that got renewed for like
season 2. Everyone was actually pretty surprised about it, because like I said, it was critically it did well, but no one watched it, so it was surprising they got a second season order. So yeah, we're just naming some of our favorites. There has been every TV season they always announce all these new shows. There's going to be a new show with John Stamos, Grandfathered. There's Ken Jeong from Community. He's getting his own show about his life as an actual doctor. Like, he's the star of it, which is cool. So if that, you know, I hope he does well because he's really funny.
Can't forget Rob Lowe and The Grinder.
Yeah, The Grinder with, was it one of the Savages, right?
Ben.
Yeah, Ben Savage from The Wonder Years.
Yeah.
The original.
The original Savage?
Yeah, wait. Is it Ben Savage?
I think so.
No, because that's, what's the one from Boy Meets World? No, that's Fred Savage you're thinking of.
Yeah, different
Ben Savage is from Boy Meets World and Girl Meets World. So, yeah, that's some of the fall TV schedule. So make sure you look out for that. The one thing I will add with that is Legends of Tomorrow actually is not starting the fall. It's going to be a mid-season show. Basically, after that Christmas break, that hiatus every show has, that's when it's going to come back.
Okay.
Or when it starts. So all the other shows, they start September, you know, when every other show starts. And, yeah, that's pretty much it on that front. And we'll move into our...
Well, no. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that section and pop it over. So now we're coming out of the intro. So now, okay. What are we drinking tonight?
Okay. All right. All right. So dad bods aside...
what? Ryan's laugh. Dad bods aside.
you got that joke.
We just made that joke.
Okay, so dad bods aside, what are we drinking tonight?
Well, we are drinking a beer from Lagunitas. It is Lagunitas Sucks, the brown sugar substitute ale. It is 8% alcohol by volume, 63.21 IBUs. You can really taste the extra 0.21 IBUs in this beer. With original gravity of 1.085, for those of you keeping score at home. We have a little story printed on the bottle, so I'll go ahead and read it to you. E.K. Ross would have enjoyed our suffering in 2010 when we saw we couldn't brew our brown sugar. But in that time of deepest despair, as is common to artists everywhere, broke, hungover, abandoned by the muse, and prepared to take a job at Arby's, we found that in the darkness, the spark of inspiration that we yield up this nearly sanctified recipe. So it looks like this is a beer that came about when they couldn't brew brown sugar for one reason or another. It's originally a limited release in 22-ounce stubby bottles. Excuse me, but they just released it, as far as I know, in 6-packs. We paid $11.99 plus tax, $12.83. Which you still owe me, Ryan.
But who's counting?
I am. Yeah, so we picked it up because, you know, we said we never had this before. And I've always seen it. We might as well give it a shot. The one thing that I noticed right away, and I think Ryan can back me up on this, is as soon as we popped the bottle open and poured 3 glasses of it, the smell was like nuts.
So
like we you know, opened the bottle, we poured it into the glass, and then all of a sudden just like this like... ale smell.
It just kind of just infiltrates your brain, basically. And you just—it's pretty nuts, actually.
It's a pretty hoppy ale, as far as ale. Like it's—I would say it's closer to an IPA, really, with how bitter it is and how present the hops are. Like it's a very,
it's a very clean hoppy beer that just kind of.
Yeah, it's planty. It's like a planty hop as opposed to like a fruity hop.
Yeah.
I would say it's closer to like a resin. Let me get one more taste. So I mean, I don't know. I kind of generally group IPAs into two categories, and this might be my own thing, or this might be like a thing that actually exists. But this is what I generally do. There's IPAs that are like planty and resiny, where it's like you're chewing on a tree. And then there's IPAs that are like floral and fruity, like your Citra hopped IPAs, like Citra Mantra. I would classify this in more of a...
Yeah, just peeling the sticker off.
Classify this as more of a resiny kind of a hop taste, which is not my preference, but it's pretty good here.
It's pulled off quite nicely here, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's like just hoppy enough without being overly hoppy, and I think the sweetness comes out, even though you have all these hops. Ryan, you kind of gave a little bit of a review there, interspersed with mine. Al, what did you think? Since this is like the first time you've drank the beer that we've had in
ever,
and ever,
and ever,
in ever,
and ever. So, I remember the first thing I did, give it a whiff, the aroma, like instantly, hops. Just hits you hard. Very, very hard. It's completely the opposite of Sucks, by the way. It's a delicious beer. Definitely a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Never had the brown sugar.
You should. It's pretty good.
I'm pretty excited because now that I've had this is a pretty good substitute. So let me get another sip.
Also, I have a sneaking suspicion that the Lagunitas Sucks brand name might be related to Primus. Because Primus is a band.
They're playing the Pony.
Band. Yes, they are.
Pony in the summer.
And I love them dearly. But
they do the intro for South Park.
Yes. Oh. But they also have like other songs.
Yeah, they have one or two.
John the Fisherman, Winona's Got a Big Brown Beaver.
Anyway.
So at Primus shows, you chant Primus Sucks.
Oh.
So I think maybe this is like kind of a similar thing, considering the Lagunitas sense of humor. But I'm sorry, Al. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm always a fan of Lagunitas. There was the one that I really loved from them. I want to say, I'm just throwing that out there. I had a beer, one of my favorite beers, because it was a six-pack. It was like a 10% beer. I want to say it's the Uncensored or the...
Undercover Investigative Shutdown.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Undercover Investigative Shutdown. Very long title, but very good beer. Yeah, I'm never really disappointed with their beers. Especially this one. This one is very good. This is like a nice, enjoyable... I would bring this on the beach. I wouldn't have too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Or would I? I probably would.
You would, because I usually drive us everywhere.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm a big fan. And very floral taste. Very, very like, hoppy. I mean, if you're a hophead, this is a good beer for you. Man, that's about it.
Ryan, anything to add?
No, just the... just very interesting. The whole... It's complex in a way, but like not. It's just beautifully done. It's very floral, very citrusy, even with the hint of just well done. Just everything is mixed together just to perfection. I highly recommend it. I highly enjoyed it. Everything is highly with this.
So you guys keep saying floral. I'm not getting that. Not to say that you're wrong necessarily, but. I'm getting like a super resin taste, like concentrated leaf hop flavor. Not so much like a floral fruity flavored hop, which again is you know, an opinion. I'm not a hop head. I've come to that realization. I prefer malty beers, stouts, wheat beers, Belgians. Not that I don't like hops, I just don't like the hop bombs.
I would say out of all of us, probably Al would be in the forefront of the hop club.
Captain Nugget Nectar over here.
Wow.
I suppose if I had to give this beer a rating, which I do have to because that's my job.
Mm-hmm.
You have one job to do.
I would go ahead and say... A 7.5.
Oh my god, I swear to god, I was thinking you were going to say that. 2 to 3 weeks.
Because 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah, I don't know, 7.5, you know, and again, it's an above average beer. Like, absolutely, you know, 5 being the average. It's a really good beer. And I could probably do, like, you know, maybe 2 or 3 of these. But I think it's closer to an IPA than an ale. And I mean, I guess an IPA is an India Pale Ale, so it's still an ale. But, yeah, no, I think this was more classified as an IPA than, like, a straight hoppy ale. And it's a great example of, like, you know, a beer that's balanced between hop flavors but not being totally overpowering. Like, the hop flavor is still in my mouth after drinking the beer.
Very true.
Which I don't know if I like or not.
It's a long finish
on just the hop flavor.
Yeah.
So that's why I'd have to go with like a 7.5 personally, mm-hmm. you know, just because I'm not a huge hophead. Al?
I've been classified as a hophead, even though I see myself as an overall, I like pretty much every style of beer. I don't think I have a beer that I hate in any way, style-wise.
Mm-hmm.
There's beers I don't like, specific types or brands, whatever. Like I said, I definitely enjoyed the Lagunitas Sucks. I haven't had a Lagunitas beer that I don't like, and I definitely recommend it.
Sure, everything is very well made.
And I'm going to go with the alcohol by volume, I'm gonna say I'll give it an 8. You know, it's not the best. It's not the best ale I've ever had, and I know you're. I actually do agree with you that it's more of an IPA side than a straight up hoppy ale. So, 8's a solid number. Falling asleep paced.
Yes.
Rating.
God, I'm so tired. For this one, I would probably give it a 8, due to its overly long finish, and just I mean, you could probably have, honestly, if you're out, 1 or 2 in the very most. It's not very sessionable, but it's.
No, it's definitely not sessionable. Not that I'm.
That's not a bad thing.
No, absolutely not. Not that I'm drunk. I did have a bit of alcohol before, so I'm a little tired on top of that.
I would say that this is probably something that I would get again if offered. However,
I feel like this would be awesome on tap.
By choice, probably never get it again. Yeah, if this is on tap, absolutely.
Yeah, I would definitely try this on tap.
I would definitely get this for a party.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, if you're buying a bunch of beers for a party and you're trying to decide, like, oh, what should I throw into the repertoire? You know, because you're like, oh, I got to please, like, the ale drinkers and the IPA guys. You know, all that stuff. And I got to get cider because everyone loves cider. Like, I would probably throw a 6-pack of this into the rotation.
God. Just come to more of my parties. Bring all that beer.
Just because of, you know, that it rides that border between ale and IPA. And also, it doesn't really, like, tell you much with the title. Like, people who've never heard of it will go, oh, I'll give this a shot.
Mm-hmm. Is that a good thing or a bad thing, though?
I think it's a good thing. I think people need to get out of their comfort zones more with beer.
Kind of wise.
Yeah, like, people, you know, dismiss beer out of hand. Like, I know people like, no, I don't drink stouts. I don't like my beer tasting, like, burnt. Like, that's an incredibly ignorant statement, because I just had the Stone Chai Tea Stout.
My least favorite thing people say. Tastes like soy sauce.
I know. Well, you know what, though? I have had a stout that tastes like soy sauce, so I get where they're going.
I know what they're saying, but, like, come on.
But, you know, like, the chai tea stout. Sorry, I just smacked Ryan awake. The chai tea Stone Stout, amazing.
Like, sounds amazing.
Like, oh my God. It's like, it was a stout, but it was, like, sweet, and it was robust and chocolatey and chai-y. Yeah, so I don't know. This is a good one to, like, bring people out of their comfort zone and have people try it. What's the worst that happens? They don't like it, they give it to somebody else.
Exactly, and then they just have the aftertaste for about 6 hours.
Yeah, I still have it in my mouth.
Well, I keep drinking it, so that's a problem.
So yeah, so that's that.
Yeah. So, Lucas, thank you, as always, for that lovely beer review. Moving on to our first topic of the day.
Okay, now we're going to go on to our second topic.
Okay. So, some pretty awesome news happened in the world of music and film, so that's why we don't need three topics tonight, because we're covering both bases. If you've ever heard chart-topping singles like I Just Had Sex, Jizz in My Pants, Like a Boss, then you may have heard of the band The Lonely Island. Andy Samberg from Saturday Night Live, and is actually surprisingly awesome show, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. If you ever watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, you will absolutely enjoy it. Very good show. Him and his two friends, I can never remember the one guy. It's like Akiva, weird something name, and then it's like Jorma, the director of the greatest movie of all time, MacGruber. They have this amazingly hilarious rap group that really started off with skits on SNL, the digital shorts, and they really became its own monster. They were like internet sensations with stuff like Lazy Sunday is what really started it off. Yeah. And then, you know, Jizz in My Pants, like I mentioned before. There's so many good videos, and they're so catchy, these songs. They're hilarious. And out of nowhere, they announced that not only are they making a film about the Lonely Island and starring them, that not only that, but Judd Apatow is going to be producing it, and this is very, really, really, really great news. You know, Judd Apatow, when he produces a movie, it's usually really funny. You know, Anchorman is one of them, I think, off the top of my head. Role Models, he's produced Superbad,
I mean, he's done all of these. He's produced a lot of really good comedies. And now that he's involved in the Lonely Island movie, I'm very excited. It's also supposed to be making fun of or poking fun at the concert film genre, like the Justin Bieber and the Katy Perry and the One Direction concert movie thing. But it's also supposed to be like making fun of boy bands, and it's probably going to be like a little Spinal Tap-ish with, you know, like the documentary, the mockumentary format. So I'm really excited, beyond excited for this movie. Ryan, you're a Lonely Island fan, and you're also sleeping. Can you chime in a little bit before you pass out? What are your thoughts on a Lonely Island movie?
I absolutely can't wait. I love the Lonely Island. Anything they do is pure gold. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is immediately hilarious with all of them in it.
That was not even a sentence.
Oh, it was not.
You're stringing words together right now.
That was just a collection of
words.
You
want to try that again?
Yeah.
Organize your thoughts, and Al, maybe you can introduce them again.
All right. So, Ryan, what do you think of a Lonely Island movie?
Absolutely am for it. I'm kind of hoping actually it comes out this Friday. Does it come out this Friday?
It doesn't.
Do you want to try that again, maybe?
No, I was serious. I was going with that. Thanks for interrupting me!
All right, let's do it one more time. Yeah. So, Ryan, what are your thoughts on a Lonely Island movie?
Oh, well, you know, I mean, I'm a human being, and we all have wants and desires, so of course, it's amazing, and I absolutely want it. It comes out this Friday, right?
No.
No?
Not this Friday. Probably
Friday after that?
Probably a few months from now.
Friday after next.
Yeah.
Okay. The Ice Cube? Chris Tucker?
No.
Okay.
None of these people are in this movie.
Never mind. Well, then, I guess if they're not in it, whatever, but, you know, it, just the fact that they were able to pull this off, and it's actually really exciting.
Yeah.
Gives people something to look forward to, and it just shows you the talent that they have, too, that how this little band, this little group of people, like they're actually, like, they're like, besides the hilarity part of it, it's actually great music.
Yeah, if you think it's actually really, really funny music.
Yeah, it's just funny how that came to be, and it's just, you can't not be excited for them. Like anything they really do, the comedy shorts with Justin Timberlake and Andy Samberg or anything.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Anything,
I mean,
any kind of side project that they do, everything is gold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I absolutely can't wait. I'll be looking forward to that. We'll be having to catch that one.
Oh, definitely. I'll be there opening night. And it's funny, too, because people, I think the reason they're doing this movie is they realize that people have been saying, like, when is the Lonely Island going to go on tour? And I think the magic of the Lonely Island is not just the music part of it. It's the whole thing. And how do you perform, like, these amazing music videos, you know, like Dick in a Box? The part of how funny of it is, the majority of it is because of how clever the comedy is, or Mother Lover. Like, these are really, really hilarious videos, not because of the music itself, but because of the video. So people have been saying, like, how can you do this on tour? And that's the thing. That's what we're trying to figure out. So I think the best form of that is to do a movie.
It is the next logical step. It is. So.
Thoughts? Yeah. Well, you have more creative control over a movie than you do over like a concert, because you know you have CGI and you can change sets on like a moment's notice. But I think this situation where being meta is good, because it's a movie.
Mm.
Like, you're not trying to do it week after week after week after week. Meta works for one film. Excuse me. But yeah, no, I'm really excited. I really enjoy Lonely Island. I remember, I think you got me into them.
Probably.
Way back when with Jizz in My Pants.
So good.
Solid video.
Yeah, solid so video. Fun. But yeah, no, I'm excited. Yeah, it's going to be really cool. It's amazing that in this day and age, though, they kept it a secret.
Yeah.
Because in today's world, like, all you need is like one picture.
Mm-hmm.
On a cell phone. Everyone's got cameras and recording with them. It's amazing they were able to keep it a secret. So
yeah. I don't know if they filmed it yet, though. So that's probably why we didn't know. But I think it was a secretly in development, which
yeah.
is never happens. Because usually we know about something years in advance because, you know, they make it knowledgeable. So
yeah.
This is cool that they're doing that. The only problem that I can think of is, will they find an audience? And I don't think that's going to be a problem because it's going to be one of those word of mouth kind of movies, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh my, you guys remember those SNL videos? Well, they're having their own movie, you know. But
SNL skits have done mixed.
So for every Wayne's World you have MacGruber.
No, I was going to say for every MacGruber you have a Night at the Roxbury.
Both cult classics.
True. I thought Night at the Roxbury wasn't that good.
Night at the Roxbury is hilarious.
MacGruber's the greatest film of all time.
I know. And I was having an argument. I was having an argument with my cousin, and I'm going to make him listen to this podcast just because we're talking about it. And he said, I was saying that a movie that I went into the theater not thinking anything of and loving after viewing it was MacGruber. Like, I saw the trailer, I'm like, I'm going to see it, but I don't think it's going to be that funny. Turns out I watched that movie like 20 times and it's the best thing ever. He said that was the worst film he's ever seen. And I said, how many times have you watched it? And he said, once. And I said, that's your problem. It's a movie gets better with age. Literally, you have to watch it multiple times to get everything and really understand it.
Well, and the good thing, too, is that since the three of us love MacGruber, we're on the internet, he's not.
That's
and
right.
Since we're on the internet, that makes us right.
That's right. And when I interviewed...
Internet for life.
When I interviewed Will Forte about his new show, The Last Man on Earth, of course, I asked him about the show, but my follow-up question was, I'm the biggest fan of MacGruber, and I quote it on a daily basis. What is the status of MacGruber 2? And he said they're going to finish writing it, and a lot of people are interested in making it. They said at the time, when they were thinking about the sequel, it was like not going to happen because the movie didn't do well in the box office, but because it's such a success, you know, with like the cult status it's gotten and all these different avenues with Netflix and Crackle and Hulu and all these streaming services, they can find someone to finance it, which is great. So even if they do a Kickstarter project, it would probably get funded. It's just that funny. So my cousin Christian, you're wrong. It's the
Christian
best
said that?
Christian said
he's
that.
He's a smart kid too.
I know. Unbelievable.
He said it was the worst movie ever?
He said it was the worst movie he's ever seen.
Then why'd they let him into Princeton?
I don't know.
Isn't that one of the admission questions
from
Princeton? What are your thoughts on the movie MacGruber, and why is it the best movie of all time?
They put you in a room naked and say, what are you going to do with the celery stick? Which end is the right one?
That's what he said. He said, if I wanted to watch a movie where someone put a celery stick up their end, I'm like, stop it. It's a great movie.
It's a great film.
Ugh. All right,
but
well,
yeah. So hopefully,
that was a MacGruber tangent.
Hopefully, this film does just as well reception-wise as MacGruber, because whether a movie is successful at the box office really has nothing to do.
I hope it does slightly better than MacGruber.
Whether a movie does well at the box office has no basis on whether it's
or
not.
Very true. Because I agree with that. Because I feel like the Lonely Island movie would probably be successful because A, it's not going to cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have
a Clerks effect where like it costs like a dime to make and they made $3 but they made like 1,000% profit.
Yeah, the first Clerks.
Yeah.
I think it's going to make a lot of money because it's not going to be expensive and it's going to have like a huge drawing because it's Andy Samberg. And that, the whole Lonely Island thing, they're very successful. Their rap comedy albums are very successful albums because of how well they did on SNL. And they even appear, even though Andy Samberg's not on SNL anymore, they still appear from time to time, you know, at least with new stuff. So I feel like it will be very successful, and hopefully it will be just as funny as the YouTube videos that have entertained us for years. And that's going to wrap it up for another episode of News Over Brews. Ryan,
no, it's not.
Thank God.
It's not?
No, it's not.
Why?
You forgot something.
What did I forget?
You forgot the thing.
What thing?
Oh my god, the really important thing.
What thing?
The Hop Sauce Festival.
Oh. Okay. So.
It's the sound of three men soiling their pants.
So
the reason that we have our special guest on the show today is because Hop Sauce Festival is coming back to LBI for its second year.
Yeah.
And Hop Sauce is sponsored by Jetty. Actually started by Jetty, right?
Yeah, started, run... I mean, obviously we don't do it all ourselves. Spice It Up, down in Beach Haven and, Shore Point distributors play a humongous role. Regina at Spice It Up. If you haven't checked out their shop in Beach Haven, definitely check it out. Awesome, awesome selection of stuff down there. Like, the spices, the hot sauces, the things you're going to find at Hop Sauce, you can find in her shop.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shore Point, you know, they distribute so many of the different beers that the whole island that you get at any of the bars and restaurants. And they're just such nice guys over there, and we've just built a really cool relationship with those guys, and we couldn't do, you know, Hop Sauce without them either. But it all goes back to help the Jetty Rock Foundation, our nonprofit arm mm-hmm. of our brand. So that's what, you know, all the money ends up going to.
Cool. Well, why don't you start off, because as always, we end up having awesome conversations that we don't record. So let's go back and talk. Give us a short little history of Jetty. How did it get started?
Okay. So 2003, five of us from Southern Regional, high school friends, we all we went on a snowboard trip, talked about starting a company together. This was after college. We were all like 23, 22. Came back from college, started working other jobs, and then getting together on the weekends, drinking beers. I think at that point we were drinking probably Keystone or Coors Light or something. Our palates have definitely matured since then. But, you know, drinking beers on the weekends and talking about starting a business together. And, you know, one thing led to another. And we each threw $200 into a hat, you know, started with $1,000 and designed three T-shirts and sold them to, you know, Surf Shack and Farias. And that's all she wrote. Just kind of snowballed from there. Started screen printing our own stuff. Got a four-color press. Turned into a six-color press. Went from a one-car garage to a two-car garage to a small 1,000-square-foot warehouse to 3,000 square feet. So now we're about to move into, well, we are in the process of moving into 7,000 square feet directly across from Southern Regional, where we grew up going to.
That's awesome.
Kind of full circle. It's pretty crazy. But, yeah, full grassroots, garage-grown story, like, I mean, to a T. I mean, just from nothing to really, you know, to now we're in about 110 surf shops up and down the coast from Maine to Florida. Couple in California, a couple in Canada, a couple in the UK, but primarily East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess that's about sums up the brief history of Jetty.
So how does a company like that get involved in a craft beer and hot sauce festival?
I mean, I guess it all stemmed from Hurricane Sandy. I mean, that was like the big catalyst for us launching the relief effort after the storm, helping the community and raising, you know, at this point we've donated like the exact number slips my mind, but it's approximately $360,000 to like get people back in their homes, get businesses reopened, you know, help all the first responding units, like all that stuff, just, you know, doing anything we could. And we just sold so many of this relief shirt that we were able to help so many people. So from that, we just really got a lot of traction, decided to start our nonprofit, the Jetty Rock Foundation. And then from there, it was just kind of like, you know, we'd always wanted to do some sort of craft beer thing, and we always, you know, have talked about it, but it's just a lot, you know, curating an event is a lot. And then Regina from Spice It Up was talking to Jeremy one day, and she was like, yeah, I kind of want to do this hot sauce craft beer thing. And Jeremy was like, yup, like, let's do it, you know. And she kind of took the reins of being the lead to organize the majority of the event. So we use, you know, our marketing power to kind of get the word out there more. And it's been an awesome partnership with everybody. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, the nonprofit started from the storm, and then we just love kind of curating events, creating unique events. We love supporting the local community. I mean, that's where we're all from. So it just seems like a no brainer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then hot sauce and craft beer. I mean, shit, who doesn't love that? You know,
I'll be honest, the last year, and you know, it's forever written into the podcast history as long as the podcast stays up on the website, I suppose. But you know, we talked about it last year, and I remember saying, you know, craft beer and hot sauce, that's such a weird combination, because you know, craft beer requires a lot of tasting. You know, it's very easy to get overwhelmed with your palate. You have to, you know, drink water, have some, you know, I think the usual snack is pretzels to kind of cleanse the palate, and hot sauce just wrecks you sometimes. And if you fly too close to the sun, you will get burned.
Yes.
And then you will not be able to taste anything for days.
Yes.
And so I initially said, you know, I don't know how that came to be.
Yeah. I think it's more about the type of person that enjoys these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really wanted to just curate an event that was unique and fun and, you know, craft beer, all original music, you know, every hot sauce companies. It just brings fun, happy, unique people that are think out of the box and love that sort of, you know, thing, the outdoor activities and active people, you know. So it was really just what we like, the types of people we surround ourselves with, the type of event we would want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just all kind of fell into place like that, I guess, you know.
Okay. And so you got some breweries through Shore Point, and
yep.
then you also had local vendors,
mm-hmm.
Which was a really nice touch that they got, you know, get to be able to bring, you know, a taste of their menu and get some promotion for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of felt like a really nice coming together for all of Long Beach Island,
yeah.
where, you know, you could come and, you know, spice it up, you know, had their promotion, and all the hot sauce companies got a little bit. They were all selling their stuff there, and the vendors were selling food and getting the word out, and it was just like a big, kind of like an LBI fest,
mm-hmm.
was the feeling behind it.
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep as much as possible kind of local to the region.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you can't fill the place up with all beers and hot sauces from Ocean County, but, you know, like, there's a good amount from New Jersey for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and then obviously you bring in Shore Point, and they need to bring in some of the beers, like, you know, say Magic Hat, you know, Vermont, obviously, and some of those guys that aren't from this general region. But, you know, it's good to have those guys in, too, to kind of help the whole process. I mean, it all comes back to the community as well with, like, where the money goes, you
mm-hmm.
know. You know, last year we were fortunate enough to raise $25,000. They went to Jetty Rock, and with that we, you know, we opened up two tech labs at the grade schools on the island. You know, they didn't have the right technology for the kids to keep them on the same page as the other, you know, grade schools going up to the next level. So we got iPads for everybody, and well, for little tech labs,
mm-hmm.
and little you know, beanbag chairs, and kind of put some posters on the walls and created a cool little atmosphere at in the two LBI grade schools. And then we just re-implemented and funded a Stafford sixth grade school trip as well with the money from Hop Sauce, to get all those kids down to Barnegat Light with a field trip they used to do but got cut from budget reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them about the ecosystem. You know, they do some seining in the bay, learn about the fish that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. Viking Village and the lighthouse, and everybody has been very supportive.
I was going to say, is that the seining field trip? Because I think I
yeah.
remember that. And
yeah.
I was going to say, like, I'm glad. That,
yeah.
that makes me really happy that they're doing
that.
Oh,
when we heard that got cut, and, like, it's such, you know, it's really not that much money to pay for the buses and to get the you know, the couple local restaurants, Kelly's in Barney Light, Barry's Do Me a Flavor, Surf Taco, like, they all chipped in and supplied lunch, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's like such an awesome field trip to teach kids about the ecosystem and the environment, and for it to be cut for a couple years, we were like, nah, we're gonna cover this one, get this trip going again. Made sense.
So you talked a little bit about, you know, the getting, you know, Shore Point and Spice It Up and organizing the event. If you can remember, I know a year is not that far, but you're a very busy person, like we talked about, you know, with Jetty and a couple other things. But do you remember what it was like, maybe what your thought process was like, going to bed the night before Hop Sauce and waking up that morning? Like, did you, you know, because in my mind I'm thinking,
oh,
they sold
man.
Tickets in advance, but, you know, how many did they sell?
Yeah.
Were most of them sold
yeah.
at the door?
Oh, yeah, most of them were definitely sold at the door. We are... I asked about that before I came out to talk to you, and tickets right now. So we ended up doing, we were hoping for like 1,000 people, 1,500 people last year. We ended up with 3,000 and, crushed it, like ran out of like the sample, little sample glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I mean, obviously that stinks, but it was awesome. So this year we're anticipating like, I want to say 5,000 to 6,000 is what we're kind of thinking, hoping.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told that our ticket sales right now are 5 times what they were last year at this point.
Wow.
So, though majority were bought at the door.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're well ahead of where we were last year. You know, there wasn't any nervousness last year going into the night before with the people. The weather was looking good, mm-hmm. and the buzz was out there. I mean, the amount of people that were talking about it and social media, and it was like we knew we were going to have a good turnout, especially because the weather was looking great.
Mm-hmm.
But then I get a call at like 5 in the morning from my partner, and I don't know if anybody remembers this, but there was like this weird little storm, a tornado. I don't even know what to call it. But at 5 in the morning, I get this call, and he's like, dude, get your ass down here. Our tents are completely across the ball field and mangled, like destroyed. So I just wake up frantically, race down to the ball field, and find our tents. Like, the David's Dream and Believe tent was picked up in about 200 yards across the ball field and somehow didn't get destroyed. Our tents were flipped over, and again, another like 100 yards, 200 yards, and completely mangled. Like, the metal was bent in half, like, destroyed. So I spent the whole morning disassembling frames of Easy Up pop-up tents,
mm-hmm.
and reassembling our couple of tents that we needed for the actual event. So the night before Hop Sauce wasn't anything crazy that I recall, but that morning was one of the craziest mornings I can recall in my last couple years of life. It was insane.
That's like the oh my God, I cannot believe that on the one day.
Yeah,
you know,
we were like, oh, we set up the night before. We even had dock pilings and like center blocks like on the thing, but they weren't tied in well enough, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it just took our tents and just threw them up in the air, and it was like the strangest little thing. And then there was other tents, the Spice It Up tent, not touched, like Ann Cohen tent, not touched. But there was like two or three tents that were literally picked up and tossed a couple hundred yards across the ball field. It's wild.
So what are you – did you make any changes to Hop Sauce besides hopefully having all your tents intact the morning of?
I can guarantee you we will be locking them down so well it's ridiculous. Like, no doubt that is going to be serious. I'm sure we'll still set up the night before, but we'll do it proper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fingers crossed for the weather, of course. Yeah, I mean, it's all new bands. Everybody's awesome. Really excited about that. It's all, you know, original curated music. We just tweaked, you know, we tweaked the signage. We felt that the signage around the beers needed to be better than last year. Mm-hmm. We added more porta potties. That was something that we needed to do from last year. We really took everyone's feedback. I mean, to do a first year event. And we really are very proud of how the first year event went. And yeah, sure, there was a couple things that needed to be done a little bit better, but totally minimal in this grand scheme of things. And to get 3,000 people come out and it all go down pretty good without a hitch, mm-hmm. We were pumped. So we took everyone's feedback, and we really made some positive changes. Better branding, better signage, a little bit better layout and flow.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so pumped on everything, on how the whole event's gonna shake out. It's gonna be awesome.
More beers this year?
More beers. We have two beer tents. We have like an indie craft beer tent and then the Shore Point tent. And we spaced them out more. So okay. You're gonna have a little more room kind of between the stations.
Awesome.
And more beers. So hopefully that kind of helps, you know, the lines.
Mm-hmm.
Tom's River Volkswagen came in and sponsored the stage.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, so we're pumped on that. Yeah, man. It's going to be such a good event. Like, we're so excited about it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're really excited, too. You know, I mean, we've been talking to you guys all winter and trying to figure stuff out. And, you know, then you sent us the beer list, and we went, oh, okay, they're serious.
Yeah.
Like, they got some really awesome beers, you know, from great, great breweries. And, you know, we like the idea of the indie tent, and you know, it just seems like it's going to be another awesome year. And you know, like the lines, I remember being struck by how well everything went last year, but also that my one gripe that I always have at beer festivals is huge lines, A,
mm-hmm.
and B, nowhere to put those lines. And everybody just ends up in a giant
pile. Yeah, totally.
There were no lines, and there was a ton of space. You know, I remember we got in for like 3 or 4 beers, and then we kind of retreated to some tables you guys had in the back and enjoyed the sun, enjoyed the weather, enjoyed the music, and then we were able to get right back in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess that is a concern for anyone who did attend the first year event,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to come back, and if it is as crowded as we expect, you know, they may be like, oh, I remember last year when
I remember
back when there was no lines. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's one of those necessary evils. Mm-hmm. We can just make tweaks as best we can and try to make it as best of a situation for everybody, and yeah, it's can't wait. Very excited.
Yeah, we are definitely excited too. If you want to shoot out the details, maybe where they can buy tickets, where they can find more info.
Yeah, so definitely check out JettyLife.com for all good things Jetty. But Hop Sauce Fest, own website there. You can get tickets there. You can get tickets at Spice It Up. Go see Regina and say what's up to her. Yeah, I'd say it's, pay attention to the social. You know, is it at Hop Sauce or at Hop Sauce Fest?
I think at Hop Sauce Fest.
Yes, I believe you are correct. At Hop Sauce Fest on social. That will be the best way to really follow everything that's going on and stay up to date. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
For coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. I'm stoked you guys had me on. This is awesome.
Yeah. You know, we'd love to, you know, maybe get some of you guys on afterwards for a little reaction to how things went, a little bit of a summary. And,
yeah. Post.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you are, I mean, heck, we love having people on the show. Because I can say this because my other two co-hosts are here, you know, they get boring. Ryan is extremely pale and gets sunburned just by staring too close to the television. And Al's a huge Coldplay fan, and that really gets on my nerves quite a bit. So it would be nice to have some extra people on the show. And, you know, if there's one thing we always like to say is that craft beer is best enjoyed with other people.
Yeah, for
there's,
sure.
There's no point keeping it locked in a closet for you alone.
Yeah.
So we'd love to have you back on.
Very cool, man. I would love that. It's awesome. I really appreciate it.
And yeah, so this is a very awesome one-day event in Long Beach Island, and it takes place on what day?
It's May 30th on...
this Saturday.
This Saturday, May 30th in Beach Haven West.
In Long Beach Island?
Long Beach Township.
It's on Brant Beach.
Brant Beach, Long Brant
Beach.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Brant Beach. You for should... those of you who are local, it's right the same place they have the Chowder Festival, and if you are merely a tourist, it is near Bay Village, which is smack dab next to the water park,
Thunder
which
Surf.
Is next to it's the greatest correct. Place on earth, the chicken or the egg.
Yeah, so if for those familiar with the area and you don't want a long description, it's actually the baseball field directly across from Thundering Surf, right between Thundering Surf and Bay Village.
Mm-hmm. It's 2.5 leagues from ship bottom if you're measuring as the crow flies.
And it's 20,000 leagues under the sea.
Wrong.
Captain Ahab.
So another weird tangent from the knob crew. But, yeah, so make sure you definitely check out the Hop Sauce Festival. We're actually going to be doing a lot of press there. Mm-hmm. We're going to be interviewing some of the...
Very exciting.
Very exciting. We're actually a sponsor of it. We're really, really proud
to be...
We have
a banner.
We have a banner, and it's sexy. It's a sexy
Not as
banner.
Sexy as it could have been.
It could have been a lot sexier, because
it's pure
we had ideas. They were a little NC-17.
Well, no,
let's not get into it.
Technically, if there's no nudity, it's not NC-17.
True. Let's just
I want the world to see my dong.
Let's talk about the festival.
Aren't we, though?
Aren't we? No. So you mentioned that we might be talking to someone. We're not going to discuss who because it mm-hmm. could change. But we're going to be interviewing people beforehand. So maybe on the next podcast you're going to hear an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to say
in
stone.
You might be hearing an interview from somebody related to the festival, but I have a sneaking suspicion that you'll definitely be having some segments pop up in the next couple of months from other interviews that we might be taking at the festival. Because part of what we got as access to the festival is
you know, kind of recognition of like, oh, these are guys. These are the guys. Like, this is not just some random people.
We're the guys.
We're the guys.
Exactly.
We're the guys.
You know, hopefully it works out when we go up and we introduce ourselves as News Over Brews. They don't go, who are you? Get out of here.
Yeah.
They kind
That's
of,
usually the answer we get.
Usually what happens, we go up to people, we introduce ourselves, and they say, I don't know you. Stop talking to me.
Yeah.
Get out of here before you call the cops.
Yeah.
Hopefully this one will be, who are you? Get out of here. Oh, wait a second. Now that name rings a bell.
You guys.
You guys are the guys.
Pull your pants down because we like you.
Yeah.
That's what we're looking for. And we're really, really excited because we enjoyed ourselves the first time and we're definitely going to enjoy ourselves this time. We're going to be there all day. So here's the thing. If you find yourself in Long Beach Island with nothing to do on the 30th, go to the Hop Songs Festival. Find us.
We are going to be wearing News Over Brews t-shirts.
Yeah, we're going to be wearing black t-shirts in the middle of a summer day.
Yes.
Great job, Al Manarino.
You wanted the black shirts, actually.
No, I wanted white with solar panels in the back.
So the shirt powers you up?
So the shirt powers my phone because I have terrible battery
life. It's like part Iron Man right there.
Come by. Say hello. Give us a hearty pat on the back.
We might actually put you on the podcast, actually.
Yeah, you know, we're going to be walking around.
We're going to be walking around, and we might interview people about their experience.
We definitely will.
We'd be doing a lot of things. Actually, if depending on the time... We might be really drunk and might drink with you.
Here's the thing. Literally anything could happen.
Anything goes.
There are no rules.
There are probably rules there.
There are no rules except for the rules laid down by your local, state, and federal governments pertaining to alcohol consumption.
Yes.
Rule one, you cannot tell people about hop sauce. Rule two, you
definitely also, don't definitely tell don't. People. To wrap that up, we're really excited, clearly, as we're gushing over this festival. Thank you in advance to the guys from Jetty.
For putting on the festival.
Putting on the festival.
And for being awesome.
Thank you to Long Beach Island. And thank you in advance to all the brewers and the sponsors and the distributors and all of the people that are coming.
Yes.
There was one thing that I liked and the one thing that really got me last year was that there was such a great mix of people.
Mm-hmm.
There were people our age. There were older people. There were families that were there. We saw one guy... Who was doing samples while he had his kid strapped to his chest.
That's awesome.
Which was just fantastic.
And completely.
Well, the kid had like an adorable floppy little hat on. So like he was out of the sun.
I don't know how to react to that though. A guy is beer sampling while he
That's
has...
what you're going to be doing in 4 years.
Can you stop?
Maybe even less.
Yeah, maybe even less.
I hate
were talking about this on the drive over, by the way.
It was terrible. Terrible humans.
The thing is, I'm happy it was a success because, you know, it was possibly questionable because at the time we were like, we didn't know if this was going to be any good or not, but...
It was awesome.
We
had a great time.
It was well worth...
When I say we, I mean they did, and I live vicariously through you guys.
But the bottom line is you're going to be there this time. We're all going to be there. So go to Hop Sauce, find us, and say hello. We'll probably be a little drunk, which means we'll be really happy to see you guys. And, like, if you see us from across the festival, go, hey, Knobbers, what's up? And we'll be like, hey.
Don't call us that.
Don't call us that.
We're the...
That ain't our name.
We're the brew crew.
It's not going to stick. We're
I
numbers.
Like it, though.
We're
All right, well, regardless. You can find out more information. I was going to say the website address, but I don't know off the top of my head. So I'm going to say Google Hop Sauce Festival or go on their Facebook page.
Pretty sure it's hopsauce.com.
I don't think I think I want to say it's like Hop Sauce Fest, but I'm not 100% sure. So yeah, make sure you Google that or Bing it if you're a loser. And that's
good. Insult the people listening to this.
Microsoft.
Who uses Bing?
Maybe
they use it for porn.
Someone does.
That's true.
Bing is a great indexer for porn.
Go to ask.com.
Great. ask for something.
And ask Jeeves about the Hop Sauce Festival. That's going to wrap it up for another episode of News or Brews. I'm Al Manarino, and I almost made Lucas spit on himself.
I'm Lucas Jones, and my life is in mortal danger anytime I try to eat food or drink around these two.
I have one for you.
Anything.
I can't think of it because you're fucking asleep. I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I'm a Corona man. I love the Snapchat.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Is it on?
Yeah. It's been on the dark.
Not nice.
Maybe you should talk about Double A on your podcast.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco, and I'm a Corona man.
Thank you, Toretto. Thanks for listening.